Yes, I know you're all probably going, wait a minute, what is this? This is the Fandom Podcast Network. But you know what? We're fandoms of everything, and at this time, it is my pleasure to announce and welcome you all to Fandom Pod. FPNet presents The End Zone, an NFL Week 1 wrap-up show. So,
I'm excited. Sorry to interrupt. I'm so excited about football.
Well, I'm very happy football is here. The Raider nerd is here. We're not going to call him Kevin because for this show, it is the Raider nerd.
Yes, sir.
So just kind of a brief synopsis. We're not going to keep this a long one, but every week we're going to kind of do a quick review of the NFL games, things we might have noticed. Maybe spotlight a couple of quick little fantasy things since Kevin and I are in multiple fantasy football leagues.
I got you in on my ESPN and NFL.com trophy league, so this will be interesting.
Yes, so Kevin, I say we dive right in. And unfortunately, I got to say, your guys might have been in the most exciting game of the week.
Yes. Okay. For those fans that don't know, I am a huge Oakland Raiders fan. Kyle is a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan, which makes us enemies 2 years, or excuse me, 2 weeks of the year. we both had, both of our teams had really very exciting games. But I got to say, Oakland Raiders playing at New Orleans, about a minute and a half left, down by a touchdown. We've already given up around 400 yards to Drew Brees' offense. So our defense is not looking great. And same can be said for New Orleans as well. Derek Carr leads the team down there, scores a touchdown. There's about, about 40 seconds left, I think, if I remember correctly. Can't remember exactly, but they're like, okay, well, we can do the extra point, tie it up, hopefully hold off Drew Brees to not do a winning field goal, and go to overtime. But Jack Del Rio says, no, I have all the confidence in Derek Carr and the Raiders offense. Let's go for two. And boom, two-point conversion to Crabtree. They do it, go up by one. Saints make a drive, come up a little short with a 61-yard field goal, and the Raiders win. I gotta tell you, man, that was probably the most exciting thing I've seen the Raiders do for a very long time.
Now I have to, being a Chiefs fan, and so I have to be the skeptic. I do have to preference a very skeptical, questionable pass interference call on that last drive.
Okay, I know what you're getting at, but can I just say it was nice to finally have a call go our way that wasn't total, you know what?
but even you have to admit that was there was a little bit of shock when that flag got thrown.
Not really, because I was like, you know, okay, I could kind of see it go both ways. Definitely, but it was one of those things where being a Raider fan, you get hosed by calls all the time, and it was nice to finally kind of see one go in our favor. So,
wait. Let me play my violin for you.
So anyway, it was a great way to open up the season being a Raiders fan. It showed, I think that our team will rally behind Jack Del Rio when he put the, you know, he had confidence in the team to do that. They pulled it off. They came together. And, you know, I was hoping we would start off, you know, first four games, go 2-2. I really wanted that win in New Orleans, and I wasn't going to be surprised if we didn't get it. But man, it was so great. And it was great to see a lot of my friends that had traveled to the game, as well as some members here in the Atlanta Raider Booster Club, go there and post some great pictures and stuff. But man, your Chiefs, which is probably going to be our biggest rival in the division, they were down by what, 20 something points?
24 points. Going into the fourth quarter.
I wrote you guys off. I was looking at it going, okay, Chiefs are going to be 0-1. I'm going to be able to get on Kyle and go neener, neener, neener. Well, not so much.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what I was kind of a little worried about with Kansas City coming into this game. This game screamed to me trap game. Philip Rivers is, you can never count out a Philip Rivers team because Philip Rivers is just one of those quarterbacks. He always finds a way to keep his team in a game. But
yeah.
And I was worried about Kansas City coming out a little flat because a little overconfident. Maybe there's been a lot of hype. And, you know, we were missing Jamaal Charles and no Justin Houston either. And that's still a concern. They're saying he's going to be back in November. But, you know, that's going to be a concern going forward. Spencer Ware filled in amazingly, doing a great Jamaal Charles impression. Yeah. I think one of the things, too, that
he's also if you haven't picked him up on the fantasy football waiver wire, which a lot of people have already. But in case you haven't, he's a top target right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think one of the things that I noticed a difference in is, yes, San Diego came out quick and fast, but if you look at the Kansas City Chiefs held them the last 10 drives they had scoreless.
Yeah.
They made adjustments, and one of the things I think that happened in the second half that wasn't really a factor in the first half is Alex Smith got Travis Kelce a lot more involved in the second half.
Yeah, I was wondering why that wasn't happening, you know, a while ago, but I think they finally realized how good Kelce is. I mean, being a Raider fan, I'm a little jealous of not having that full clutch tight end. Our tight ends are doing okay, but we don't have that Kelce. We don't have that Gronkowski, which is, well, you know, becomes crucial role. So
also, I got to think, I mean, I know you, Raider fan does like Latavius, but there's a lot of questions. I don't think a Raider fan wouldn't mind having any one of our three current running backs on the roster.
Well, you know, we've got some diamond in the roughs, so to speak. So, I mean, Latavius looked better than he did before. My problem with Latavius was that he runs tall, but he was actually getting his shoulders in there and diving out of some of those blocks and holes. So hopefully we'll see that. But speaking of, we do have that young Jalen Richard who ran for that 75-yard touchdown, and he's on everyone's waiver wires right now.
Yeah,
so
but it was
is he going to steal the position? I don't know. We'll see. I wouldn't jump on him right away. If you have a spot, put him on the bench. But there's Washington is still on there as well, and the other guy, I can't pronounce his name, he's on there as well. But yeah. Let's see. I thought maybe we could maybe talk a little fantasy football about some of the top prospects.
Well, yeah, but there's a couple things I do want to address because it was an exciting week one, Kevin.
Yes, it was.
I mean, there was five games that were decided by a point.
Yeah, that's right. We had the Cowboys, New York Giants game that was Terrence decided by.
I don't think Terrence Williams is still out of bounds. Seattle and Miami played a very tight game.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And Russell Wilson got injured too, but is he questionable, I think, coming into the second game?
Yeah, they're being pretty hush-hush about this.
Yeah, he's saying he's coming back, but you know, we'll see.
A couple other quick highlights. Jets and Bengals played a crazy football game, another 1-point game. All I will say this is the Jets are going to have a lot of sacks this year.
Yeah. Oh, and how about that close game on Monday night against San Francisco and L.A. Rams?
Oh, we'll get to Monday night in a second because that was ugly. But let's not forget about the other 1-point game because unfortunately the Denver Broncos beat the Carolina Panthers on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think you and I were both voting or hoping the Panthers would win that game. Oh man, gosh!
But
poor Cam.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little fantasy, Kevin, because there's a couple of things I noticed for fantasy this year already that I think we have about four teams that if you have fantasy players playing against these teams, you're going to want to make sure they start, and that is the New Orleans Saints, the Indianapolis Colts, the Cleveland Browns, and I gotta. You know, Kevin, as much as you guys have some talent on the front end, your secondary looks a little scary. So I got to say, if you have a quality quarterback or decent wide receivers playing against the Oakland Raiders, that might be a must start right now until they prove otherwise.
You know, as much as I would like to say, stop picking on my Raiders, you're absolutely right. Our secondary is hurting. We got We got Sean Jones from you guys. We still have DJ Hayden, which I don't get. But yeah, we're hurting there. I'm hoping that they address that issue. But yeah, there was a lot of defenses that were giving up a lot of points, and you know, it's tough to say. It is the first game, but I did see that in preseason with my Raiders. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping that. Hoping that the offense can keep them alive and just score a lot of points.
Well, and I think one of the other things we got to talk about too, Kevin, as far as fantasy goes, is the arrival of the new quarterback in town. Fantasy wise, and that would be somebody who's in my own backyard. Because
who's that? Who are you talking about?
America's quarterback, Jameis Winston.
Oh, jeez.
Because you have to admit. Some of those touchdown throws were pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, I got to admit, man, he was looking good compared to last year. I remember seeing the game in person where they came to Atlanta and they beat them, and I saw a lot of promise in him. And of course, Atlanta was just one dimensional. They were just trying to run the running back, and they were throwing to like Julio Jones, and that was it. But I think Jameis is going to really turn it up this year, and I think he's a viable starter in fantasy football. But you know, of course, then you got Brock Osweiler as well, and of course, if you need someone before Brady comes, you can go with Garoppolo.
Yeah.
By the way, is there something that says that if you're gonna be playing quarterback for the New England Patriots, you have to be extremely handsome.
Well, there's that. And let's talk about New England for a minute, because
do we have to? Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think we do, because, you know, everybody was like, oh, well, no Brady. The head of the snake is gone. And the body dies without the head of the snake. Everybody forgot the actual head of the snake. His name is Bill Belichick.
Yeah. It's so funny because there was people making plays on that team. I was going, what's his name? Who?
No, I mean, no Brady. They were missing three of their starting offensive linemen, a couple of key defensive players.
And no Gronkowski. Yeah.
And they go into what a lot of people have as their Super Bowl pick. And one of the toughest places to play in the NFL right now, and that is Arizona. And I'll tell you what. They found the biggest hole in Arizona in that secondary, and they just exploited it. And as much as it pains me to say, Bill Belichick is the best coach in the NFL right now, and it's not even close.
Yeah, I do envy his legacy because he's coached very well. And as much as you know, I'm not a fan of the Patriots, you have to respect them. Of course, it hurts me deeply going way back to the Tuck rule. Still painful, but of course there's the whole Deflategate thing too, which being a team that does not like the Patriots kind of makes you wonder what's really going on there and you know what's happening. But when it comes down to it, though, whatever Belichick is doing, he's producing some good players there, and definitely going to be one of the tougher teams to beat. I thought maybe, too, I could go over some other hot waiver wire pickups here.
Yeah.
We got Tajay Sharp, wide receiver for Tennessee Titans. Now, this surprised me. Terrell Pryor, former Oakland Raider quarterback, wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns.
And actually, I got to tell you, Kevin, there's been a lot of hype about how good Terrell Pryor has looked as a wide receiver. And I think I'm happy for him. I mean, this is a guy who's an amazing athlete.
He is.
Make this transition is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to follow him. We got Philip Dorsett, wide receiver of the Indianapolis Colts. Eli Rogers, Pittsburgh Steelers. Terrell Williams for San Diego Chargers. Now that Keenan Allen is out.
Yeah, well, that's a shame too. That's a heartbreaker. That guy has not had good luck with injuries in his career.
And the big question with the Baltimore backfield right now, with running backs, Terrence West seems like that, he might be the standout now. They got like a four or five headed monster over there, and it's tough to kind of see who's going to be the go-to guy. But, you know, he seems to be one of them that they're looking at right now. Of course, the tight end for the Colts, Dwayne Allen, if you're looking for that tight end spot. Eric Ebron, tight end for Detroit Lions. Of course, Dallas Cowboys, you got to look at Cole Beasley now. He earned, was it 12 targets in the first game with Dak Prescott? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Dallas is an interesting situation with Dak being their quarterback. Dez Bryant's kind of it's been proven now without Romo at quarterback, his numbers take a serious drop. So,
yeah, definitely. And the other name that came to is Quincy Iwuanwa, wide receiver for New York Jets. He had 7 catches for 54 yards and a touchdown, which surprised me because I thought, you know, obviously Eric Decker got looks, but Brandon Marshall didn't get as I was expecting him to get as well.
Brandon Marshall so was playing a little bit injured, so that could have been a part of that too.
Right.
Might have opened the door for him to get a little more playing time. Now, Kevin, a couple other things I want to hit real quick on this from this past week too is I got to talk about one game in particular, because there's a lot that came out of that game, and that was the Philadelphia Eagles Cleveland Browns game. I don't get excited about either of these teams, but there's a lot of things that came out. First of all, it's the NFL, so you know you're playing, you're at an elite level, and for Carson Wentz to come out and give the performance he did in his first NFL start was very impressive. I don't care who he was playing,
especially in Philadelphia where they got some tough fans.
Yeah, but I to me there's also something that's very depressing that came out of this game, and I think we finally seen the end of Robert Griffin III.
Yeah, did they say how long he's going to be out?
Well, they put him on IR with a chance to return, but I think at this point, you're talking about week 10, week 11 before he's even eligible to come back. And I think he's done. I think he is done.
I don't know if I agree with that yet. One thing that stood out to me was the press conference after that. They didn't know the severity of his injury, but he went up, answered everyone's questions. He actually was very professional. It wasn't the Robert Griffin I was used to seeing. It seemed like he took some humble pie, ate some of that, and probably learned something on how to handle these situations. And I thought he was really good under the mic talking about, you know, being on the losing side of it. And so it actually made me respect him a little bit more, and I'm kind of rooting for him that I hope that he does come back. But, you know,
he did not play that well.
Yeah, you're right. And, I had to, you know, it's funny is in one league, I had Gronkowski. And of course I couldn't start him, but my backup tight end was Gary Barnridge.
Yeah. But with Josh McCown coming back, that's actually somebody who I know some weeks he didn't necessarily get drafted because people were kind of concerned with RG3. With McCown coming back, hop on him on your waiver wire if he's available.
Yeah. Unfortunately, on my team, though, once Gronkowski's back, Barnage is going to be right in the pine there. So, but yeah, and Carson Wentz, he just seemed on. I can't really explain that. Maybe it's just his talent. But yeah, that was really good. Do you think he's would be a good backup quarterback to get, or should we wait a couple weeks?
I think we need to wait a couple weeks. Now, I was actually higher on Carson Wentz than I was Jared Goff coming into the draft. From the film I had seen and everything like that, Wentz just looks like a quarterback.
Well, speaking of Jared Goff.
Well, okay, now here's a question for you. How bad behind the learning curve is Jared Goff in the NFL if that is what the Rams are throwing out for a passing game right now?
Oh my gosh, they got blanked on Monday Night Football against the 49ers.
The 49ers who defensively looked very impressive. And I got to say this, Kevin, because it was so good to see 49ers linebacker LeVar Bowman out there playing so well, because if those of you who remember the knee injury he suffered 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game against Seattle and how gruesome that looked.
Yeah, yeah.
To see him out there playing at that kind of level was a great thing to see if you're just a fan of football.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Now, but let's talk about the other Monday night game, Kevin, because as much as it kills me to say it, I think we saw our Super Bowl favorites in that game, because the Pittsburgh Steelers are an offensive machine right now.
Yeah, they were firing on everything there.
I mean, and think about it. They've got their second best wide receiver suspended for the season. The guy who's supposed to be replacing him was injured. The tight end who was supposed to replace the retired Heath Miller was out injured. Le'Veon Bell on suspension. And, I mean, I think if you're in fantasy football, you want to have any Pittsburgh Steelers offensive player you can get your hands on at this point.
Yeah, another well-coached team. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh goes all the way to the Super Bowl. Yeah, they looked really good. They looked on point there. I was expecting to actually win that game against Washington. I don't know what Washington really was going to have to offer. Were you surprised by that at all?
I was a little surprised. I thought Washington would put up a little bit better showing offensively because I think Kirk Cousins is playing for that contract, and I thought there'd be a little bit more. But I think Washington has been highly overrated. I don't care for their offensive talent at all. Mm-hmm. And they just seem like a team that's just kind of there. They're one of those. It's kind of right. Like the Miami Dolphins to me. They're just kind of there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
go ahead. One other thing I gotta say though here too is there was one team that lost, but I think it's one of those teams that's been a losing team for a while. And even though they lost, I think they actually made a very big statement. That was the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Because
they lost to the Green Bay Packers, and part of the reason they lost was because Aaron Rodgers made plays only Aaron Rodgers can make.
Yes.
I think if that kind of performance against a lot of other teams, they win that football game.
Yeah, well, there's players on Jacksonville Jaguars that I think that are obviously good contenders for fantasy football, whether it's their quarterback or their wide receivers, but you kind of had reason to kind of question that this time.
Yeah, well, I think they really, one of the things that hurt Jacksonville this go around was Chris Ivory, who was one of their big offseason acquisitions that was really supposed to help them with their running game, was out that game with some kind of mystery illness that had him in the hospital.
Yeah, was that ever disclosed? Do we know?
No, it still hasn't. He's out of the hospital now, but It's kind of been a mystery thing, and they still don't know if he's going to be able to play this upcoming week. But I know they were kind of counting on him to kind of share the load with T.J. Yeldon, because I just don't see Yeldon as an every down back.
Right.
I'll tell you what was impressive was Jalen Ramsey, the number five
draft
this year.
Yeah.
He should have had a sack of Aaron Rodgers that Aaron Rodgers actually turned into a touchdown pass. But that's going to be a team, I think, more towards the second half of the season nobody's going to want to play.
Yeah. Well, hey, I thought we would just touch a little bit on our own fantasy leagues here. I've got you in our ESPN league here. What was the name of your team again?
That would be the Rogue Squadron.
The Rogue Squadron. It looks like you were victorious. You won against Nathan Davis. You won 304 to 193. That's impressive, man.
Well, and we've got to clarify, because isn't it this ESPN league where the scores are getting to be outrageous? Because, and it's the first time I've ever heard of this in a league, but running backs get a point for every carry they get.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that you could choose a running back that was active. And I wanted them to get a point for a touch, just like a receiver would get a point for a reception. Because that means that you can have a backup running back that can get some points for your team if you're really in a bind. And the other thing that I did with these leagues, and a lot of people may not be happy about this, but because the tight end position is kind of scarce now, there's only like four or five really good ones that are productive. I took that tight end only position out, and I put it pretty much a flex position. It wasn't required. You didn't have to have a tight end. You didn't have to draft one. But
I would like to thank you for that, Kevin, too, because that led, I had two backup running backs lead the way for me in that league this past week.
Yeah?
That would be Mr. Spencer Ware and Mr. D'Angelo Williams.
See? What did I tell you, man?
Now, we have our other league, the NFL league, which I wasn't quite so lucky in. And I think that's only because poor Todd Gurley is going to have a very long season because there's no passing game in L.A.
Oh, was he your starter?
He was one of my key. He was my first round draft pick. Now I have great
performance. That has to change though, man. That can't happen all season, right?
Well, I mean, I play catch up. I was down going into that, and then thanks to the amazing performance of one Mr. Ben Roethlisberger, I was in the fit mix, and really realistically with Todd Gurley, I should have won that game, but because the Rams were just so horrible, you know.
You had a close game. You only lost by 10 points.
Yeah. So, like I said, just one of those weeks. And there were some very bizarre fantasy performances this week. So.
Well, you're right. That league, I actually won that game. I won 271 to 203. And of course, I had Cam Newton. He did well. But I had AJ Green and Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. A 98-yard touchdown reception will do it for you every time.
And then Stephon Diggs, who, with a new quarterback, that surprised me that he was as active as he was. But of course, and then I had Jeremy Langford as well. But I got decent depth in my my bench here. But I got to look at the Titans' defense. I'm not sold on them. I started them. So.
Yeah, no. But so I think closing out for this week, Kevin, besides the obvious Raider highlight, what are three takes that you're taking out of this first week of the NFL?
Well, it's obviously the overreaction that people are going to have and the overanalyze of everything. You really need the first four games to kind of figure out what your team is about. Obviously, I'm personally looking at my Raiders. They're playing at home this weekend against the Atlanta Falcons, which I'm happy about, especially after the Falcons' performance.
That could be another track meet scoring game.
Yeah. But I'm curious about the Browns, how they're going to do without RG3. I'm really curious to see what the Rams are going to do because, you know, after seeing them on HBO with Hard Knocks and them getting blanked out on Monday night, that's embarrassing, man. I mean, if I'm Jeff Fisher, everyone's doing extra push-ups. You know, everyone's hitting the film, and I'm putting my fist down if I'm that coach.
Yeah.
Because I got to be honest with you, I'm surprised he's still coaching after, you know, if you look at his record, his current record in the NFL. He seems like a great guy and a good leader, but he's got to start producing.
Oh, yeah. I think for me coming into week two, three things I'm going to be looking at, the Jameis Winston watch is on, and I can't think of a better test coming right out of the gate. Going to Arizona and playing a very angry Arizona Cardinals team.
Now, yeah.
I do think Tampa is very much improved, but I don't think they're that improved. But I think if Jameis Winston can even go out and have a solid, strong performance, even if the Buccaneers should lose, I think that he really does put himself on the map, that he's taken that step to the next level. Another thing I'm looking at is the Denver Broncos, because I'm still not convinced. I think C.J. Anderson is one of those running backs that 2 years ago he came out of the scene out of nowhere. Last year he was kind of, like, people had figured him out. He had a great game in week one, but I think Denver was very hyped up for that game to prove a point. Their defense is outstanding, but I'm just not sold on that offense yet.
Yeah, I'm not either. One thing I did want to mention, I think we should let our listeners know with this football show, we got the End Zone. You and I are going to be going to a game together.
Yes, end of October, you are coming down here to my neck of the woods to come see your Raiders get lit up by Jameis Winston.
And the trash talking has begun.
Well, you know.
I can tell you right now, that is going to be a very fun game and interesting. I have a feeling that is going to mean something more than just you and I sharing time and watching a football game together. But I think that's going to be an important game, because even though it's not a divisional game, that's the time of year when,
that's a keep you in playoff contention game.
Exactly. Those are the games that you can't win, because, you know, you're fighting within the division. I think Tampa and Carolina are, you know, the big dogs in that division as well. But those are the games that are going to be important to both teams to not, you know, lose a game lead on your fellow division. So I think that's going to be a huge game. And I'm happy to
– I was just going to say, Kevin
– I'm sorry. Just real quick. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think you're also talking about two teams that are very much on a similar path right now.
Agreed. Yes. They're on the rise. They're you know, the team's working together, and there's a direction here. Got a lot of young members as well. So yeah, I think you're right. That's going to be interesting. And also too, that's going to be a big game for Oakland Raider fans. Just so you guys know, there's going to be a lot of people traveling, a lot of the big super fans as well. And, I'll be there as the Raider nerd, looking forward to, getting out there and, seeing all my Raider friends as well. And, we're going to have some fun out there, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Gosh, help me, surrounded by Raider fans.
You're gonna have a great time, man. You're gonna be around some good people. I'm actually excited for you. So
that's a black hole. I don't want to end up in maximum security prison in Tampa.
Oh, jeez.
But no, it is going to be fun. Two other quick things I'm looking forward to in week two, though, Kevin, is I'm very interested to see Carson Wentz and see if this is going. How this is going to play out, because this is going to be if he plays, continues to play like he's playing, I will be stunned, but I'm very interested to see that. And you know, one of the things I'm actually very interested in to see is the Minnesota Viking quarterback situation. Will they start Sam Bradford this week?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm glad you brought that up. That was one thing I wanted to mention. Yeah, I want to see Sam Bradford, but I actually want to see a game in that new stadium.
Yeah, that I'm looking forward to that. To that as well. I'm looking forward to the debut of that new stadium.
I'm jealous, man. Ugh.
Well, you know, you're only a couple years away from the Vegas Raiders, so it's all good.
It's starting to look that way, but man, if that does happen, it would be nice if we had a nice brand new stadium in Oakland, man. God, that'd be great. But man, yeah, it's pointing towards Vegas, so we'll see. But
if that does happen, scandal begin.
Yeah. That'll be a nice stadium, I'm sure, if that does happen. But hopefully something will happen and we'll stay in Oakland. We'll see. Well, man, this is cool. Our first episode of the end zone, FPNet end zone NFL week one.
Yep. I'm seeing no flags on the field. Everything looks good in the replay booth. My friend, I think we've reached the end zone.
All right, man, let's do this. And let's do it next week. I'm looking forward to it. And I need to come back on one of my leagues in fantasy football. I'm fine with the NFL one. The NFL one, that's the trophy league, so I got to make sure I stay on top of that one.
Yeah. That trophy emblazed in Chiefs red is going to be a
beautiful. I'm excited that we're doing this on the Fandom Podcast Network. We've been talking about doing football here because, you know, we embrace all fandom, and I know not everyone's going to want to listen to this show, but we appreciate those that do. And, you know, if you got football fans, have them check us out. We love football here. It's one of the things I love about Kyle and one of the things that we bond on, and I'm looking forward to this season. Both of our teams, have, you know, a lot of interest in them and the possibility of their future. So it's going to be a fun year.
Absolutely. And on that note, I think it's time we turn off the lights, kick that final extra point, do the kneel down. Maybe go grab a couple of beers and kick back and get ready for week two.
Right on, man. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next week in the end zone.